When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Brad Jones, former Green Bay Packer, is going to be joining at 9:20 AM today, so make sure to stick around for that. And while she did not play linebacker for the Packers, she is a epic sports reporter for WFRV in Green Bay. Lauren Helmbrecht is joining me right now. You can find her on Twitter, at LM Helmbrecht. Lauren, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Hi, Andy. I'm doing well. Thanks for the call. And it feels good to be talking about Packers-Seahawks, an interesting NFC rivalry, but one that is very dear to my heart.
Tell us more about it. This is your home stomping grounds, correct?
That is correct. So I grew up in Washington and am a Seahawks fan myself. So when I moved to Wisconsin, I got a couple side eyes when asked about the history of these rivalries, because for a long time I was cheering for the Seahawks when they were beating the Packers. So now I'm more invested in the Packers season and how they do, since it impacts my job. But it's always fun to reminisce on some of these matchups these two teams have had in the past.
Okay, so obviously you grew up as a Seahawks fan, and I know, like, in the industry you have to be, like, unbiased, but is there still a little, you know, pull at your heartstrings for the Seahawks if maybe they're not playing the Packers?
Definitely. It's hard when you work in sports because you work during the games. So
right.
I don't really get to watch a lot of Seahawks games day in, day out, because realistically I'm at Lambeau Field or at an away team's game. But I do always try to keep tabs on the team and try to know how they're doing. And then this game will be a homecoming for me. I have probably 10 family members going, so it'll be really nice to see a lot of my family.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for you. That should be a ton of fun. So let's start there. I was going to start maybe somewhere else, but let's start a little bit with Packers Seahawks. So just, you know, obviously, you knowing the Seahawks well, and you know the Packers incredibly well, like, what are you just looking forward to in this game? Because I do think this is a very fun matchup on paper.
I'm looking forward to just two teams who know that they need to keep winning in order to continue their run into the playoffs. Obviously, the Seahawks are leading the NFC West, but the West is not great this year. And so there's a couple games left. Seattle needs to firmly hold their grip in the West to, you know, have a higher seed in the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Packers are third in the NFC North, the hardest division in football right now. And so they obviously know they need to win. And these two teams have history. Maybe not the current teams. I don't think there's a lot of players on the current Packers team that have a lot of beef with Seattle, but as two franchises, they've knocked each other out of playoffs many times in the past in order to make it to the Super Bowl or make it to the NFC Championship game. And so the fan bases probably are a little bit more invested in that rivalry than the teams themselves. And then I know for Bo Melton, specifically the Packers wide receiver, he is a former Seattle player. He was on the practice squad, didn't really get an opportunity, and then obviously ended up finding success in Green Bay. So he's one player that I know will care a lot about this matchup.
It's interesting you bring that up. Matt LaFleur does seem to have a little bit of a soft spot sometimes for when he gets some of these opportunities for players to go against former teams or have a connection. When Bo Melton played against his brother in Arizona, he tried to feature Bo Melton a couple more times in that game. When Chris Brooks played against Miami, got him a couple extra touches, it felt like, in that game, and especially in the red zone, he gave him back-to-back plays, I think, trying to get a touchdown in that one. So he does kind of give some players an opportunity when they're in those situations to maybe go out and put their best foot forward. So we'll see if Bo Melton gets an extra opportunity or two in this one to kind of go against his former team. As you look at, you know, this game coming up, what is something that's kind of giving you some reason for concern as you look at the Seahawks and maybe why they could upset Green Bay? I believe Green Bay opened as 2.5-point favorites on the Potawatomi Sportsbook. What maybe gives you some cause for concern?
I'd say Geno Smith. Geno's performing very well. His touchdown interception ratio is not great. It's 14 TDs to 12 interceptions, but he's thrown for 3,400 passing yards so far this season. So they're passing the ball a lot. Now, that partially is because Kenneth Walker III has been dealing with injury. He's questionable at this moment. But Geno can be a gunslinger, and he kind of plays with a relentless attitude of, look, I got this second lot in life, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to succeed. So, similar to the Packers, the Seahawks have a pretty interesting and deep wide receiver room. So, there's a lot of different weapons that they could go to. And then, right now, Seattle's defense is doing pretty well. They're playing like one of the top 10 defenses in the league. But I'd say, honestly, Geno being kind of unpredictable in the sense that he might throw a pick or two in a game, but at the end, he's going to huck it down to the field because, you know, he has Jackson Smith and Jigba, he has DK Metcalf, he has Tyler Lockett. He's got a number of receivers that can make this game interesting. So that's kind of the thing I'm going to pay attention to.
Yeah, the gunslinger mentality is definitely one that comes to mind with Geno Smith as well, and he is not afraid to put it into tight windows. He will get it to his wide receivers by any means necessary, sometimes for good or for ill, but he's a fun player to watch, and he's definitely resurrected his career in a significant way. You mentioned some of the injuries for Kenneth Walker and that Seattle Seahawks team. The Packers, I think, for really the first time this season, are starting to get a little bit more banged up, where these injuries are starting to become a bit more concerning. Jair Alexander has still been out at corner. Romeo Doubs, we heard yesterday, still in concussion protocol, as is Evan Williams. Javon Bullard was labeled as week to week by Matt LaFleur. Edgerrin Cooper and Corey Ballantyne were out this past game. And of course, Luke Musgrave, Marshawn Lloyd, and Jordan Morgan all remain on injured reserve. This doesn't even include guys like AJ Dillon, Tyler Davis, etc. So this team definitely is starting to feel, I think, the effects of the season for really the first time. How concerned are you about the health of this team? And if you could maybe get a player or two back, who would you really like to have back against Seattle and for this upcoming stretch?
Well, I really think that the secondary is the area that the Packers need help with, and they need to get guys back. I'm going to be honest, I saw Javon Bullard in the Lions locker room after the loss. I saw him 1 foot hopping around while ultimately getting the boot put on and then crutches. So that's the injury to me, just visually, that looks the worst. Now, if LaFleur is saying that he is day-to-day and week-to-week, I'm obviously going to take that at face value, but just visually, that one looks pretty hard. I think with the concussion protocol, you always want to give players a week to get back, but the Packers do have the benefit that this has been a mini bye going from a Thursday game to a Sunday night game. So hopefully Evan Williams can come back. I really think that without Williams and Bullard and Alexander and Ballantyne, that is a very light secondary. And that's why you get Robert Rochelle getting called up as a game day elevation, pardon me. And then you also saw Zane Anderson getting some reps with the defense. He's primarily a special teams player. So if the Packers can get one or two of those players back, I really think that's the position area of most need. Obviously, they'd love Romeo Doubs to come back, but with the reliance of the run game, and they have obviously a huge depth at wide receiver, I don't think his absence would be felt as much. And then with Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker, I think he would be great to come back. I really do think in the Lions game, they took advantage of some short passing that kind of plops right in front of the linebackers. And Edgerrin's got kind of the, you know, chicken with your head cut off, just play and attack kind of mentality. And so he's a factor in every game that he plays in. But to your ultimate question, Andy, I think the secondary is when the Packers really need to get some guys back in.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, you can make an argument right now of, you know, if you go into a game with, you know, Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine as your outside corners, Keyshawn Nixon in the slot, and then, Zane Anderson and Xavier McKinney, like, you feel comfortable with McKinney, but there are a lot of other question marks in the entire rest of that secondary. So getting guys like J.R. Williams and Bullard back would be huge for that secondary. You know, certainly now if you can, but as they get ready for a stretch run in the playoffs, that's going to definitely be a position to monitor as the rest of the season goes along. You know, we're being joined by Lauren Helmbricht, sports reporter for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. You can find her on social media at LM Helmbricht. All right, Lauren, we were talking in the first segment about this Jeff Hafley defense. There's four games to go in the season. They are a top 10 scoring defense. They are tied for sixth in rush defense at 4.1 yards per attempt, eighth in interceptions, first in fumble recoveries, fifth in forced fumbles. They're doing some really good things on defense, but at the same token, they're having some struggles against top teams, which a lot of teams do, but Philadelphia, Detroit, Minnesota did not have issues putting up points against this defense. And this past week, Green Bay lost while allowing 34 to Detroit. How do you feel about Jeff Hafley's defense with four games to go, and what are they going to have to kind of clean up as they get ready for a playoff push?
I feel like the defense goes in waves, and it's hard to really know the identity of the defense, because at the beginning of the season they were so good at forcing turnovers, and that was really the whole brand, and Xavier McKinney was on this unbelievable stretch, and then rightfully and respectfully other teams had to change how they were attacking the Packers, because they can't throw at Xavier McKinney and expect him to not intercept them. So then I felt like the identity of the defense was kind of keeping things in front of them. And just in this Miami Dolphins game that the Packers won on Thanksgiving, if you looked at Tua's stats, you'd think, oh my gosh, the Dolphins must have done really well. And, you know, they put up yardage, but they weren't able to score, and that's what mattered most in the game. And then more recently, the Packers have just been able to get to the quarterback. And so I guess you could say that that just means they're adaptable when it comes to their opponent, but obviously their record indicates that when it's against a really good team with an over 500 record, the Packers have been allowing a lot of points. So honestly, Andy, I just don't really know what the true identity is. And again, when you have Xavier McKinney on your team, other offenses are going to adjust and play differently, but I need to see the Packers defense completely shut down a over 500 NFC team, aka a good example would be the Seahawks, to feel confident as they continue their push into the postseason, because right now they're 0-4 against NFC teams that have a winning record.
Yeah, I know, like, kind of on paper, it looks like they're going to get a wild card spot no matter what. They're 98% chance to make the playoffs. Like, on paper, it doesn't feel like they have kind of a ton to play for in these final four games, but I do feel like those two, the matchup, like you said, with Seattle and then the one with Minnesota, I feel like these are such great opportunities to play against good teams on the road and just to answer some questions. Can they start better against a good football team? They've had poor starts in a lot of their games against good teams. Can they play better on defense and hold those teams to under 20 points, which has been an issue for the defense? And can they just get, you know, a really nice win on the road, which has also sort of avoided them? So I think there's still a lot of questions that this team can answer. And I'm kind of low-key excited the fact that they get Seattle coming on a four-game win streak this week in Seattle in a tough place to play in a tough environment. I'm kind of low-key excited that they still have Minnesota on the road in a couple weeks. Those are tough games, and I think Green Bay needs to kind of step up and answer the challenge in those. And as you kind of, Lauren, look at these final four games of the season, how do you want to see Green Bay handle the and manage these final four games, and what would you like to see them work on and kind of focus on, and just, you know, as they start to hopefully peak and get ready for this playoff push?
I mean, I really would like to see them sprint into the postseason, yep, not limp. Because, yes, there's that 98% chance. Yes, they're probably going to make the wild card. But if you are limping into the postseason, that's not how you want to carry yourself with a potential four team that really believes that they can make it far. They were a play away from the NFC Championship last year. This team, on paper, is better than last year's team. So, therefore, they should continue to be better and go further. Obviously, it's not their fault that the NFC North decided to be really good this year. But I want to see the Packers go on a win streak. I want to see them have a dominant game in Minnesota. Not just a game where oh, they were able to pull one out. And I'm not saying they're going to beat Minnesota by, you know, double digits or anything like that. But if they're able to solidly win three out of these last four games, that's what I'd feel confident for. Now, pardon me, the Saints are coming in on Monday night of the following week after Seattle. So they're still in this primetime stretch. And I think we'll find out pretty soon if the Packers-Vikings game will get flexed to be another primetime game. Andy, I don't know if they've determined that yet. Do you remember?
No, they have not yet, as far as I'm aware. They have not. I know they haven't updated it yet, but I think it still can be flexed, correct?
So I believe that there's a high likelihood, especially with how the North is playing, that that game will also get flexed. So not only are the Packers playing for confidence going into the playoffs, but they're playing on the biggest stages. They've just had two Thursday night games where everyone is watching. Now they have Sunday night football. Then the week after is Monday night. Then their next week is probably going to be Sunday night football. So earlier, a couple weeks ago, Keyshawn Nixon was asked about, hey, the Packers weren't playing much prime time. How do you feel about that? He goes, look, football matters in November and December, and that's when the schedule makers wanted us on TV. That's how they feel about us. We are a team that plays when football matters, so the Packers need to show. They need to show up. They're 1-1 right now in those primetime games in the past couple weeks. If they can end 4-1, I'd feel pretty confident as they continue into the postseason.
No, I would too. And I am excited. You know, the Saints have won 3 out of 4. The Seahawks have won 4 in a row. Obviously, the Vikings are an incredibly good football team. Like, I think this is going to be a really good stretch of games. And like you said, all three of those games could theoretically be in prime time with the whole world watching. So I think that's a really great sort of dress rehearsal, especially Minnesota and Seattle on the road as they try to get ready to what is going to almost assuredly have to be a 3-game winning streak in the playoffs in order to go to a Super Bowl. Lauren, really quick before we get you out of here, what gives you confidence that this Packers team could potentially make a run and make it to a Super Bowl?
I'd say their shift in the red zone. I was really worried at the beginning of the season when they couldn't score and they were right there. And then the Packers remembered that Josh Jacobs is on their team and he was the king of a touchdown from 1 yard out, which is such a concept when you have one of the league's best running backs. So Josh Jacobs as a player gives me a lot of hope. Even when teams try to isolate him, that honestly sometimes makes it better for the Packers because they have such a deep wide receiver room. And if they're saying, oh, don't run the ball, we dare you to throw. And I really like what the Packers are doing with Josh Jacobs. And it gives me hope and confidence that they can now score from the red zone, because once they're getting that close to the end zone, if they just hand it off to Josh Jacobs, he's going to find a way to put points on the board.
Yeah, and they were doing really well this past game until they got called for a bogus offensive pass interference penalty, which should have been another touchdown. But alas, we cannot go back in time and fix that, so we will not linger on it too much. Lauren, you're the absolute best. What do you got coming out on Green Bay Nation and anything else you're working on this week?
So we have another edition of Green Bay Nation that's coming Wednesday. Airs from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Central on Local 5, Channel 5 here in Green Bay. And I have Ryan Wood and Marcus Ebersole on the show. We're breaking down this Packers loss to the Lions and then previewing the upcoming game in Seattle. And then I'll be heading out to Seattle a couple days later, get to spend some time with the family before doing some reporting on the ground there. So I'll have some hits on Saturday and Sunday. Those can all be found on Local 5.
Well, that sounds absolutely perfect. You are the best. Thank you so much for taking the time. You, of course, can find her on social media at LM Helmbrecht. Make sure you do so. Lauren, we'll definitely do this again soon, and enjoy your trip out to Seattle this upcoming weekend. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.